eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yeah. I want to see him. How do you want to see him? See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Right. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Right. High and lifted up. We lift him up. Now let him send forth the word. And love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. We throw every crown we have at his feet. I want to see him. Amen and amen and amen. I want to see him. And good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn back where we've been reading in Revelations 1. And just remember, there's a lot away this weekend traveling and different ones. Brother Boyden's gone. Brother Benny and Sister Brenda and them's gone. A lot of people traveling this weekend, so just remember the ones coming back home. You know, the Lord will be with them. Remember, the Bible study will be this coming Saturday, 6 o'clock. And then remember, the ministers' meeting for the ministers only will be on the second Saturday, starting at 10 o'clock. And then on the third Saturday, we will be going, the Lord willing, to the fellowship meeting at Brother Tom Crochane's, probably leaving here about 10 o'clock. Where we can have time and make sure everything's okay. All right? So just let us know how everything's going with us, you know, with each one. If you can't go with us, pray for us. Come and go with us if you can. All right? I remember Brother Ray and the family today and the time, you know, that they had planned to maybe have it Saturday and then they come up and had to have it on Sunday. So there was no way that any of us could be there, you know, for his brother's memorial service. Just remember him and pray for the family, all right? And that all the announcements, Wade will be preaching with Brother Collins Saturday and Sunday. But remember that and pray that the Lord would bless him, okay? Revelations 1:1-3. Father, we love you and we thank you. We just ask you now to come among us and, Lord, to speak to our hearts, because that's what we gathered for. We didn't come to see or to be seen. We came, Lord, to hear from you. And we just ask you now to have your way. Bless each one. Bless those that are traveling, tired and weary. And just be with each one, Lord, and just have your way. Remember the services and the times coming up, that the Lord, that you'd be with us in all that we do and say, because that's what we want you to be. Guide us now and forgive our sins. Keep us in thine understanding hand that we may walk in you, and open truly our eyes, Lord, that we may see you, and then cast our crown before thy feet, believing you, Lord, and God, in Jesus' name. Amen. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by a record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You may be seated. The Lord had his blessings to the reading of the word. Now we got the fans turned, and I turned them reverse where they wouldn't blow down right on certain ones. And I know it's hot, but the air conditioner is doing the best we could do. Brother Aaron went through it yesterday and things. It's 9-ton of units to blowing in this church right now. There's 5 ton blowing up here, but it just won't work when you got 100 bodies and outside you got 100 degree weather. It just won't do no more than what it can do. All right. Now, we've went through the fourth chapter, and this morning was kind of a review and just a few comments there at the end to tie on together to see what we've been talking about. And you remember we took basically the first chapter, went through, and then we jumped over to the fourth chapter, and we began to take verse by verse to explaining things and, you know, trying to move on. And I said that would be a foundation to understand or a preparing. Now, I want you to take these. We'll go ahead and give them out, Wade. Keep these. Bring them back with you. You know, fold them up if you have to. You don't plan on doing it. Put it in front of the seat in front of you where you have one when you get back, because I probably might not run anymore. But, see, we've been preparing for the point of trying to speak on chapter 5, and we'll get to that in a little while and, you know, try to move on into the understanding. Because, see, preparation, in other words, you're preparing. I'll be speaking more Wednesday on this. But when you're preparing for something, you're making ready. You know, it's everything and all. You're getting ready. You know, somebody's coming to your home. You clean your house. You go through. You clean up everything. You pick up everything, you know, and then you get everything ready, and you're preparing a meal. You know, preparing a meal is not just going in. And to a lot of people, preparing a meal is paperwork to send you down to Cracker Barrel. You know, that's not much preparing. But even at that point, still in the Cracker Barrel, somebody was doing the preparing and getting ready. Now, you'll see more of this Wednesday night, but I'm just saying this because of the way the prophet said it. So what I've been doing with chapter 4 basically is preparing to be able to understand the fifth chapter of Revelation. All right? We went through the open door, the rapture, seeing the throne, round about the rainbow round about the throne, 24 elders, combat beast, and seeing all of that, it shows us the reality of the Word of God in the bride of all ages, and in a final climax of the bride in the end time, in the rapture of the church. All right, because, you know, trying to take what's here, comparing it to what we see there, etc., and been doing it verse by verse. And I hope you followed what I was saying on that line. All right. But now, to not lay a much of a background, because we've done that this morning, basically doing it, getting ready. But, see, now we're to enter the fifth chapter of the book of Revelations. All right. And if you want to, let's read that fifth chapter, the first verse. Right. And they don't have to pull it up because it's fine, but if they jump there before I do, they generally do, they can bring it up. Revelations 5:1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. All right, now as you're looking there in your Bibles, look over to Revelations 4:2. And notice, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. All right? But in chapter 4, it doesn't mention a book. Right? Doesn't say anything about a book in the hand. All right? Chapter 5, you immediately see it's the same throne, the same situation. One sitting on the throne that we went through in the fourth chapter, which is the Father's throne spirit, or the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the one that Jesus come to prepare and to make a way for the throne. All right? And that throne is in the heart of man here upon earth by the new birth. True? All right? But now you find that here in chapter 5 that there is a book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. Now, we will not get into that this afternoon, because I want to go real slow and just be able to understand, you know, as we go along. All right. Now, Revelation 5, 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. Now, we're not going to get down into that part. We're only going to get to the point that I want you to see of one sitting on the throne and a book in his hand. All right? Now, remember how we done in chapter 4. Door opened. You didn't see throne. Door opened. Right? All right? Then we took another sermon. Then we saw a throne. All right? We didn't talk about in the second message the one sitting on the throne. We moved that over to like the third message, etc. That's why it took so long. Because it's all a opening of a scene that God is doing something. And watch it in a minute when we cover that about a scene in glory and just watch the doings, you know. Because that's what we want to try to get to. But you understand what I'm trying to say. See, Revelation 4, we saw the door opened. Then we saw a throne. All right, we covered what that was and what it meant. Then we covered one sitting on the throne and who that was and what was going on and how it was the Father's throne. See, then we saw the 24 elders, and then we saw the rainbow, and then we saw, you know. And to me, it's like a movie as you're going across, you know, and you see a scene. Now, remember that in a minute, a scene. The scene is not the whole movie. It's brought forth in the word scene means, it's got an odd meaning to it. The word scene actually means a stage. Not a stage like this. You know, not a stage, a platform. It means the word stage. In other words, something is there on the platform. Something is there for you to see. All right? The actors are there. So if you were watching a movie or a play being acted out, you would have a curtain in front, it opens, and a scene starts. You know, okay. A little boy and a little girl, you know. A scene starts. This one is over here playing in the yard. This one's over here at the other house playing in the yard, whatever, you know. All right? Then, that's as far as you can go, right? Because it's not a rolling thing, you know, like a movie picture. So what you do is you close the curtains, right? And that was the little boy and the little girl at 5 years old, you know, or something. And you close the curtain. All right, the next scene is a little boy and girl at 12 years old or something, you know. All right? You get the picture. That's what you call a scene. Or a stage. All right, now keep that in mind and keep these quotes that I give you. Right. See, then it just keeps unfolding. See, and then the next third scene would be a young boy and a young girl going off to college. All right, and they're both in college. All right, scene 4, close the curtain, open back up, scene 4. Girl meets boy, boy meets girl, you know. They fall in love. This, all right. See, that's more like the acts of a play. And that's what's happening to me that helps me to understand the book of Revelations. But I don't just read it. And a door opened in heaven, and there's a throne, and one sitting on the throne. And well, I wonder what all this means. Or, you know, what's the emphasis of this? What's the importance of knowing what this is, you know. Well, to me, it's a very positive, very important thing. All right? Now, this is something that's been with me for a long time, so go ahead and pull number one on your quotes, brothers. And look what Brother Branham says about Revelation 5. Look what he's talking about. This is taken from the Breach, 1963, 317E, paragraph 238. Notice, he's not an animal. Now, this is in Revelation 5. All of these quotes today will be maybe second from somewhere else talking about, but it'll go back to Revelation 5, okay? So tie everything back to Revelation 5, okay? Notice, he's not an animal. He took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Who was it? The owner? The original owner that had the book of redemption in his right hand. And no angel, no angelic being, nothing else could take the place. Brother Branham said Elijah was there, Moses was there, all the prophets were there, all the sages were there. Nobody was worthy to take the book. We'll get to that as we go on over a little further. All right. And this bloody lamb walked out and took the book out of his hand. What was it? Brother, this is the most sublime thing in the scripture. What? An act, a act, that not an angel, not nothing could do it. And the lamb come and took it from the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. What is it? Now it belongs to the lamb. All right. Now, without getting into the lamb that much, but I want you to think about these things. Most sublime. I wrote down the word sublime means elevated or lofty in thought. Sublime, see. You know, you can say that was sublime. In other words, you're meaning that it's highly elevated or it's lofty in thought or our language. And what it's doing, it's impressing the mind with a sense of grandeur or grandeur, however you say that, grandeur, some aspiring, inspiring awe. Now, I didn't say this, so your prophet didn't say Luke 17:30, Revelation 10:7, Malachi 4 was the most sublime scriptures in the Bible. I quote those because those are the quotes that we give most of the time. But he said Revelation 5 is the most sublime. Inspiring awe. Remember when we get over about the seventh seal about 20 years from now, probably, that they stand in awe. That's the words your prophet says. They stand in awe. But it's like, see, to me, the book of Revelation is like a, in the other writings, it's more or less describing, showing him of, in different things. But the book of Revelation is like the scenes of a play. It's just opening. All right? And see, I don't understand how we can understand it any other way than that. Than to follow it is that. All right. Now look what he goes on to say here, because this will be a continual reading for a minute. That was paragraph 238, paragraph 239. Yeah, there you go. God's law required, he's the one that holds it. God's law required a kinsman redeemer, and the Lamb come forth, come out boldly. I am their kinsman, I am their redeemer. I now have made intercession for them. And now I've come to claim their rights for them. All right, now. Amen, amen. I've come to claim their rights. And that they have a right to everything that lost in the fall, and I've paid the price. Oh, brother, we don't it make you feel religious? Not my good works, which we have done, but by his not by good works, which we have done, but by his mercy. Oh, wait a minute. And them elders and everything else begin to throw off their crowns, and dignities begin to get on the ground. Dignitaries. No one could do it. And he walks right up to the right hand of God and took the book out of his hand and claimed his right. I have died for them. I am their kinsman redeemer. I am the mediator. My blood was shed. I have become man. And I did this in order to get to church back again. The one I foresaw before the foundation of the world. I have purposed it. I spoke that it would be there. And nobody was able to take it. But I went down and done it myself. I am their kinsman. I became kinfolks. And he takes the book. Amen. And watch. Who's waiting there? Who's there for me tonight? Who is that one church that's waiting there? What else could wait there for you but that kinsman redeemer? Oh my, what a sublime statement or act. Now he has the title deed of redemption, title deed to redemption. He has it in his hand. Mediation is done. He has it in his hand. Remember, it's been in the hand of God all the time, but now it's in the hand of the Lamb. Now watch, the title deed of redemption of all creation is in his hand. And he's coming to claim it back for the human race. Not claim it back to angels, claim it back to the human race, which it was given for, to make sons and daughters of God again. Bring them back to a Garden of Eden. Everything they lost, the whole creation, the trees, the animals, everything else. Don't that make you feel real good? He said, I thought I was tired, but I'm not tired now. All right. Let me make sure where I get to. All right. I thought I was tired, but I'm not now, see. Sometimes I think I'm getting too old to preach. And I go and see something like that, and I think I'm a young man. It does something to you, see. For I know this, that there's someone there waiting for me. There's someone paid the price that I couldn't pay. That's right, he did it for me, Charlie. He did it for you. He did it for the whole human race, and now he comes forth to claim his redemptive rights. Claim it for who? Not for himself, for us. He's one of us. He's our kinfolks. Oh my, he's my brother. He's my Savior. He's my God. He's my kinsman redeemer. He's all for what was I without him, or what could I be without him. Do you see? He's my all, and he's standing there as our kinsman, and now he's been interceding for me up there up till this time, and now he comes forth and takes the book of redemption to claim his rights to what he did for us. Now, what most people do when they read that's what people, when Brother Branham preached this in 63, they said, see, there the Lamb left a mercy seat. No more redemption after 63. That's what a lot of doctrines was. They asked Brother Branham, and he said, where did you get that? In other words, I never said nothing like that. You know, they asked, should we give altar call? He said, I never said nothing like that. But you see, it's like the Lord Jesus when he said, what is it if John remains till I come? A saying went out from the very disciples among the 12. See? They said John wasn't going to die. Howbeit, the Bible said, he didn't say that. He had no reference that John was going to live to be 2,000 years old. Right? But you see, it's what we think. So when you talk of seals and things and redemption, we think of it all being over. I think of it as just beginning. We've got to be able to see Revelation 5. Before we can understand Revelation 6. Now, Revelation 6 starts the opening of the seals, right? But we got to understand Revelation 5. We don't understand that, it won't work. Just like it was that Brother Branham said on Daniel 70 weeks, he said, if you don't understand Daniel 70 weeks, you'll miss it in the seals. But everybody knows all about the seals and nothing about Daniel 70 weeks. They won't touch it. A man said the other day, we heard him, he said, that all them numbers, there's no way to get them together. What he already said, there's no way I can get them together. That's the only problem. And I said, Billy Graham said, nobody can understand the Trinity. He already said, I can't. And I don't either. Because, but I'd sure like to sit down with the brother on the Daniel 70 weeks. But it never will happen. So who's concerned? But I'm not tearing down his bubble. I'm trying to get me and you out of the bubble. Get us into reality. To see what's taking place. I gave you statements along in the message on the fourth chapter of Revelation. And I said, if I was you, I'd write this down. You remember them? How many of you wrote them down? Let me give you one now. Write it down. Unless we can see how this one gets on the throne and of the book he has in his hand and where the Lamb comes to take the book, we won't understand what's going on. We'll not understand it. Do we know what this is then that we're looking at? Brother Brown said it was the most sublime, the greatest thing you could think of, the greatest scripture. One time, I don't remember exactly, but if I get it wrong, forgive me. He said, this makes you feel like going over and crawling under a concrete block with a 10-gallon hat on. Something like that. In other words, how little it makes you of how simple God does anything. And yet we're stumbling all over it trying to find it. As I always illustrate, one rock laying out in a football field, 300 yards long, what is it, 100 yards wide, or is it 50 or 60 yards wide? 50 yards wide, 100 yards long. And you're looking for a rock, and there's not but one. And you stumble over it trying to find the thing. That's something, man. That's the way we do with our stupidity of our intelligence of our mind. Is we try to figure it out without simply believing what God says. All right? Think about it. Don't think about redemption's over. Now, there will be a day when redemption will be over. And he'll claim his possession, right? There'll be a rapture, right? But it's not happened yet, all right? You can spiritualize all you want to, and I do too, and believe in it. But you know, you can spiritualize it all day long, but if it don't, something happen to this body, my spiritual might be something wrong with it. So let's look at the next quote, and I gave this quote to you, so if you will keep it. Go ahead, brother, on quote number two. And I gave you this one where you could... No, wait a minute. Is that on number two? Yeah. Yeah, this is on number two. See, that was on the breach. All right, now watch what he says here on paragraph 79 and 80 of the Revelations, chapter 5, Jeffersonville, you know... 61:6-18. Now we find out then that this first beginning of the chapter that we find. The chapter is just a tie block. Now, I looked up everything I could find on tie block. That was a hard one to deal with. We're probably not familiar with the word. Maybe some of you know tie block, but I can tell you the definition in a second. But it's a diamond hitch. We're more related to a diamond hitch. Really, a relation of a tie block is a rope going around a piece of wood in the middle, and it's a capability of moving things. But really, a diamond hitch that ties the last part of the church age of the third chapter. Now, a diamond hitch. It's, in other words, it's not a diamond. It would just be a hitch made that it'd be so strong you can't break it and things. It's not, you're just talking about something that can tie two things together. See, the tie block and the diamond hitch means that there's an ability to be able to put two things together that cannot be pulled apart. We look at it on a car or a truck, and we see that there's, you know, what you call a military hitch, gives you more of an idea. On your car, you've got a circular thing, and on the other side of it, it's got a clip over. And it is supposed to be the best hitch of all. Better than the ball and the thing. But it just simply means to be able to tie two things together. All right? Now watch what he says is tied together. And you'll see why I went through chapter 4 before we're going into this. So the fifth chapter is just a tie block. It's a diamond hitch that ties the last part of the church age of the third chapter. Watch it. The fourth chapter tells what John was taken up into heaven. And the fifth chapter is preparing for these. All right. Chapter 3. The fourth chapter of the book of Revelation is a tie block, a diamond hitch. To be able to understand the fifth chapter. Okay. Something tying the two together. Now watch it. The fourth chapter tells what John was taken up into heaven, and the fifth is preparing for these. Where you went through the seven church ages, and John's lifted up in the fourth chapter. Now the rapture's the tie block, the thing John went through, be able to tie together to be able to go to heaven and see it. All right. And the fifth chapter, he's just setting a scene for the opening of the seven seals. Just as he did in the first chapter, opening the way for the seven church ages. You could have never had the seven church ages and had chapter 1. You wouldn't have had 2 and 3, see? Wouldn't have come. You had to have chapter 1, lay a place to where they could hitch together and tie it all into a channel and be in the right place. All right? So what is he saying? Setting a scene for the opening of the seven seal. Just as he did in the first chapter of Revelation, opening the way for the seven church ages. There he stands in the seven golden candlesticks. He needs to look upon his jasper and sardis stone, and he's preparing for these seven church ages. Now, where was he doing that? Back in chapter 1. The one standing in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, is preparing to be able to understand the church ages. Now he's preparing to be able to understand the seals. Now he's preparing for the opening of those seven seals of redemption. See, that's what the fifth chapter is. Chapter 1 ties together from the church and the book of Acts, etc., and all, and brings in the church ages. Chapter 4 is a rapture bringing you from the church ages into glory to where you can understand chapter 5. Okay? Now, one of these days, I'll just come back and show you what I'm talking about in simple language, like I did this morning, just preach a message on it. All right? But bear with me till you get there, because if I just preach a simple message on it, then you won't go home and study it. And I want you to study it out. But watch what he said. The fifth chapter, that's the reason I kind of read it and just take it from there and talk on it and give the other parts of the scripture, is because it isn't verse by verse something that's happening. Chapter 5 is not verse by verse something happening. It's preparing for something to happen. And if you get the preparation, you remember all the food together for the meal, all the things, you know, you have a wedding, takes weeks of preparing, getting everything set, you know, right? A lot of preparation, right? Then you're ready for it then, and that's the way it is by faith or something else. That's this, the seals. All right. It's not a verse by verse. You had to cover verse by verse. You have to. Because what would be a movie without scenes? Boy and girl playing in the yard, one in one yard, one in the other one. Boy and girl getting married, riding off into the sunset. That'd be beautiful, wouldn't it? I've read the book. What'd you read? I read the introduction, and I read the last page. I know all about the book. Well, who's John and Mary? I don't know. I told you I used to do that when I was in school. I hated to read to some degrees what they wanted me to read. I wanted to read something else. But I would read the introduction, and I'd read the last few pages, and I'd write them a book report. I'm just glad the teacher never read the book. Because I know what I had in it wasn't what was in the book. I just wrote in there what I thought. And then at the last, John and Mary goes riding off, you know. But listen, church. It's not a verse by verse. I gave a next quote. Look at the next one, which is the Revelation chapter 5. This is paragraph 58. And I just give you that where you'd get what he's saying. In chapter 4, he went through taking it verse by verse. Okay? Chapter 5 is not verse by verse. It's a scene. Now listen to what I'm saying. Are you ready to see the difference in a scene than a verse by verse? They take a verse by verse and they make a movie. Oh, now if I miss this, I never saw the whole movie. What was his name? Crocodile Dundee or whatever. The old guy, you know, in the movie, he was supposed to hit somebody. Instead of it, he just whipped out a gun and shot him. They just put it in the movie. It wasn't even scheduled. I remember that years ago or something. It's because in making a movie, the director, he follows the script to a degree, but he makes out his own plans, right? It wouldn't be too good of a movie to go watch the life of Samuel Dale. I wouldn't even watch it. Right? See, about halfway through, you get so bored to... No, but man, they got all this going. What was that old song they wrote? And the guy wrote a song that had about four verses. I remember that way on back. But anyhow, he sent it in for them to take it, and the guy wrote back and said, there's no lust in it, there's no murder in it, there's no this or that or the other. You remember the old country music song? He went back and wrote about his mama got run over a train and all kind of things and put it in the song and made a hit out of it. You see, I wouldn't want nobody to put my life down because it wouldn't be nice enough for them. They'd want to pop it up, you know, get it all to going. Okay, you're awake. That's what I was doing. All right. Now listen. A scene then. The fifth chapter is not a verse by verse. The fourth chapter is verse by verse. You say, well, why would Brother Brown say that? He said, it's not a verse by verse. It's a scene. Because you see, fourth chapter takes you from earth to glory. And you got to go through the verses. All right? Fifth chapter, it just starts off. One sitting on the throne with a book in his hand. There's no verse by verse. Where did that happen? What took place? Fourth chapter tells you this. Up to there, it was a verse by verse. Now it's a scene. Now they got to write the book to get a scene from it, right? But you know how they do, especially in movies today. Who was the Alfred Hitchcock? Alfred Hitchcock back in our day. So you know how old I am. You used to have that thing, you know, where did you come down and he'd tell the story that never did end it worth any sense at all, right? I remember one of them, this boy, he had a choice that he could take the right door or the left door. If he took the right door, he got his wife. If he took the left door, he got a line. I remember that, but it ended before he got to the door, you know. So, you know. See, movies today, they don't give you a full description because they found out. And one of these days, you'll find out why I joked a little bit, okay? You find that out. I just told you a minute ago. I said, I've done that to get you awake. But listen, in the movies today, what is it? There's only so many minutes of the human mind. If you go over so many minutes on one line, the mind will start deteriorating away. It won't keep up. So you watch this stuff now. It's fast. Never over 5 minutes in a scene or 10. They're here. They're here. They're here. They're there. Get on these old soapbox operas. You'll see what I'm talking about. One scene, 2 minutes, these two people talk. Scene three, these people talking. These two talking. And you don't know what in the world's going on. But see, it's clicking your mind to keep you listening. All right. So as we open in the fifth chapter, the scene is a throne. And one sitting on the throne. And the book in his hand. Right? A scene. Told you, chapter 4, it was a door open. You didn't see the throne. Then second scene was throne. Third scene was one on the throne. Fourth scene was 24 elders. But you hit the fifth, it's going to be fast. Because it's up there for you to see it. So what do you see? You bypass all of the background. And you see the throne, one sitting on the throne, and a book in his hand. Now, we'll get down later to where it'll show the what these taking place. But my whole purpose is one thing that I gave you there for you to take and read. This is not a verse by verse. This is a scene. Setting a stage for the opening of the seals. No way the seals can break until you see that throne, that one sitting on that throne, and see that book is in his hand. There's number two thoughts that I'd write down. You'll never know what the book of Revelation is until you see Revelations 5, the throne, the one on the throne, the book in his hand. You will never know what's going on in the opening of the seals. That's why everybody says the seals is the Holy Ghost. Don't even know what they're preaching. You know, it's a revelation. Then they'll say that it's for the Antichrist. The one group goes one way. It's a revelation. It's, oh, it's great. The others goes, they can't come in the middle with a tie hitch and tie it together with the rest of the Bible. That's why they come up with this polygamies under the doings. All right? Now let me throw a tie hitch in. Let me throw a diamond block in. This message could not have been understood until this age. Okay? Boy, we're number four. Same ones we had this morning. How could it ever take place until the eagles come? Right? Could not be done. Pull the next one. Until the age of the eagles appear. Can't be revealed. Malachi 4 had to come into being. Luke 17:30, Revelations 10:7. And then the eagles has got to come. The eagles is the only ones that can understand what happened in Revelations 5. They can't understand what's going on. Look what your prophet says now. Go to number 6. It's giving you some quotes to get a stage set in your mind. And look what he says. In the Breach Message, 1963, 317, paragraph 290, 291. Now watch, when he done that, watch what taken place. You talk about a jubilee. Now he's in Revelations 5. If you want to read back up above there, you get it. If not, then you come down here and get it below it. You'll see where he's at. He's in Revelations 5. He may be over in talking in the breach, but he's talking about Revelations 5. So watch. Now this is actually exactly the breaking of them seals take place. In the 5th chapter. Now let me state it like this. Brother Branham said, if you miss the opening of the seals, what did he say to do? Go to Christ's mystery, God reveal. That's a quote now if you want it. He didn't say go back to the seal book again. He didn't say go through the Daniel 70 weeks or church ages or whatever. He said, go to Christ the mystery of God revealed. Why? In there is the complete revelation of redemption. All right. Now, don't go back to there. So, if you don't understand the opening of the seals, you might ought to come back to the breach and read it. And reread it. And reread it. And start with that thought in mind. Revelations 5 is exactly the opening of the seals. Now I know where your mind's going. But see, my mind is in Revelations 5. The tie hitch, the diamond, you know, holding. You're looking at it like seals, white horse rider, red horse rider. You might ought to come down out of the ceiling just a little bit and walk. I'm an eagle. I'm soaring the skies. Yeah, you soared right on out of the picture. Remember, there's 40-something eagles, and there's even vulture eagles. So crow all you want to. He said, well, you sure are in bad shape, because this morning you're trying to encourage us to be eagles. That's right, true eagles, because a true eagle will understand. All right? So now this is exactly the breaking of them seals. Watch it. Read what he says. will get in that half hour of silence. Where's the half hour of silence? Revelation 8:1, the opening of the seventh seal. Right? Just after this. Right? Watch this. And we started in, and we finished this up next Sunday night right here. Right here. Revelation 8:1 has got to finish in Revelation 5. Or your prophet missed it. Now, read what he's saying. And it started in, we finished this up next Sunday night right here. And listen close now. Are you ready? Say amen. Listen close. What took place? And when he had did this, when all creation was groaning, no one knowed what to do. And John was weeping, here come the Lamb, walked over, and this book was in the hands of the original owner, because man had failed and lost it, and no man was able to take it anymore to redeem the earth. No priest, pope, nothing, as I said, but the Lamb came up. No Mary, no saint this, or no saint this, or saint that. The Lamb come up, bloody slain, and took the book out of the right hand. All right, watch it. Of him that sat upon the throne. And when they seen there was a Redeemer, and all the souls under the altar, when the angels, when the elders, when everything seen it, when this was done. All right. Look at the next one. Now you're back in the breach. Breach of 63. Paragraph 299. Talk about a jubilee. Talk about a time when that Lamb walked out. See, the books, even sealed in heaven. The book is sealed in heaven. Nobody on earth could understand it, and nobody in heaven could understand it. There was only one that understood it. That's the one sitting there with it in his hand. Now, he understood it. But you know what I'm saying? See, the mysteries are, say, is my name there? I don't know, but I hope it is. But if it is, it was put on the book before the foundation of the world. But the first thing that represented that redemption come the Lamb that had been slain from the foundation of the world. He took the book, glory, opened the book, and tore off the seals, and sent it down to earth to his seventh angel. Now, remember this. Get the stage. Takes the book, opens it, ends it down. We're going to get a stage in between just a second. Don't remember that. Tore off the seals and sent it down to the earth to his seventh angel to reveal it to his people. There you are. Oh my, what happened? The screams, the shouts, the hallelujahs, the anointed, the power, the glory, the manifestation. And old John, who had been standing there, our brother, crying, why? He said, everything in heaven, everything in earth, and everything in the sea heard me hollering. That's Revelation 5. Amen. Blessings and honor and might and power be to him that lives forever. Talk about a happy time when them seals broke. Broke. Back there with John. There wasn't but one seal to break, and that was the seventh. Six seals are wrote in the Bible. It's broke. Talk about a happy time when the seals broke. John must have looked in and seen it past the curtain of time and said, there's John. Oh, he was so happy. You remember what I said? He went on over to chapter 22 and he seen the names written in the foundation stones. His name is in there because the apostles were there. There's John. Oh, he was so happy. He said, everything in heaven, he must have really cried out. Didn't he? Everything in heaven, everything in earth, everything beneath the earth, every creature and everything else heard me saying. Now that doesn't mean he heard them saying. They heard him saying. All right. Amen. Blessings and glory and wisdom and power and might and riches belong unto him. Amen. But there's something happened. There that we've got to see in chapter 5. We just take the lamb. He takes the book and breaks it. Now listen to what your prophet had to say about it. Look at number 8. And look to date. 64:12-27. Who do you say this is? In other words, after the seal's broke. Paragraph 33-34. Get down to the part we're looking at. Bless the word, Lord, as I read it. There's no man that's able or sufficient to interpret that word. John saw the book in the hand of him that sat upon the throne. There was no one in heaven or on earth or beneath the earth that was worthy to even look at the book. But one of the elders said, behold, a lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. John, looking to see a lion, he saw a lamb that had been slain. A bloody lamb come forth and took the book, climbed upon a throne, and sat down. Little something added there other than just grabbing a book and ripping it off. He climbed upon the throne. Now all the celebrity of heaven took their crowns from their heads and bowed and knowed he was worthy. Lord, we pray that he'll come to the throne of our hearts. Are you reading? Climbed upon the throne and sat down. Now you might think I missed a lot, but I told you, without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, this ain't going to work. We got to have the throne of God in our heart. Why? Lord, we pray that you'll come to the throne of our hearts this morning. Climb up and take possession of every thought that we have. And take the word and speak it to us that we might know more about him and his plan in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Climb up on the throne of our heart. You see, all it says in Revelation 5 that there was one sitting on the throne and a book in his hand. Brother Branham said one come forth and took the book, climbed upon the throne and sat down. Now you might have thought I was just trying to say something in that chapter 4, but I did preach a message about has he come from history to climb up on your throne in your heart, in your life, and sit down? Is he on the throne in your heart? If not, you will never understand the seals. You see, it's got to happen here before it can happen there. Climbed up on the throne and sit down. Has he climbed up on your throne? Is he the king of your life? I pray he'll come to the throne of our hearts this morning. Climb up and take possession of every thought that we have and take the word and speak it to us that we might know more about him, his plans, and our life. One more. Look at number 9. Well, I've got two more, but it's all in number. Souls in prison. Souls that are in prison now, 63:11-10. And John looked to see a lamb or a lion. And what did he find? A lamb. It was a bloody lamb, a lamb that had been slain. How long? Since the foundation of the world. The lamb came forth, walked up to him that had the book in his right hand, and received the book. Climbed up on the throne and sat down. That's it. It's all over. When the seals were revealed, when's it over? When the seals were revealed. When the last one that was everything that he had redeemed, there was nothing. Pull up the next paragraph, 151. And then when the last name on that book was redeemed, the Lamb came forth and took the book. I'm the one that did it. You know that some people believe that that was Brother Branham. A man personally told me that, okay? He said, have you ever read that? I think it's page 26, The Souls in Prison. About the Lamb climbing up on the throne, sitting down. And Brother Branham goes on, speaks in the first person and says, I am the one that did it. Brother Branham wasn't the one that climbed up on the throne and sat down. Your deity. He wasn't the one that climbed up on the throne. That has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. But Brother Branham can't climb up on the throne in your heart. But the Lord Jesus Christ can. All right. The rest of that is fine because it's talking about the Redeemer, the book that he took in his hand. And it comes back down right again. Run it down to paragraph 156. We'll quit on this one. This is out of the message of the souls in prison. Notice it was the seventh angel's message that was to reveal the seven seals, Revelation 10:7. Now you'll find it, see. And he saw this angel come down with his foot on land and on sea. Where's that? Revelation 10:1, right? That was Christ, had a rainbow over his head. Notice him. You'll find him in Revelations 1 again with the rainbow over his head, the look upon his jasper and sardis and so forth. Here he comes, put one hand, one foot on land, one upon the water, raised up, had a rainbow over his head, a covenant. But he said you'll find him in Revelations 1. Revelations 1 and Revelations 10 then is identical. As he climbed up on your throne and sat down in your life. Is he the author and finisher of our salvation? Is he the root and offspring, the bright and morning star, the Alpha and Omega? Is he the all of it? He said, Brother Dale, what have you been preaching today? You lost me. Okay, where'd I lose you? Chapter 5 is a scene in heaven. In that scene in heaven, you find one sitting on the throne, the book in his hand. And you find a lamb that comes forth and takes the book. Where does that lamb come from? And sits down on the throne. Becomes the one on the throne. Then he can break the seals. Just taking the book is not the whole story. The lamb took the book, but he's got to break the seals. But there's one thing for sure. If nobody was worthy even to look on the book. And Brother Branham said Moses was there, Elijah was there, the sage, the prophets were there, and said nobody was worthy. If he was worthy to take the book, he's worthy to open the seals. Where did he come from? How did he get there? He's a lamb. He's not an animal. We read a quote in there, right? He's not an animal. It's because he took the book. The lamb couldn't take the book. He could do it with his mouth, but you know what it'd be. And how could he climb up on the throne and sit down? I'll end with one statement. If he's not on the throne of our hearts, we're still Trinitarian as well as we've ever been. If he's not the one prevalent person sitting on the throne in your heart, or your revelation, your doctrine, your idea, your throne, your concept, then there's no need to worry about the opening of the seals. Well, we better find where that lamb come from. Think on these things. A simple plan of redemption. A scene that when the stage would open, there it is. There's other things you'll find in there that we'll cover going down through there of what takes place, but the main scene is what? Throne. One sitting on the throne, a book in his hand, and a lamb comes up and takes the book and climbs up on the throne and said, "I am," and says, "I'm the one that done it." If you can't see one true and living God, you can't follow the acts of the play. If you can't see Jesus Christ, as Brother Brown said, when you begin to see the words, you see in Jesus. He said, if you don't see Christ in every verse, go back and read it again. He said, you missed something. And I read the Bible the first time, and I know you have too, and it says, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so. And 14 chapters later, so-and-so still begotten so-and-so's. And I wondered, well, what is all of this doing in the Bible? But then right in the middle, it would just have a little catch right in the middle. But it's a lineage coming down to David, and from David to Jesus Christ. But you see, that's where people can't even follow lineages. You cannot follow the lineage of Jesus Christ from David to Jesus. Your lineage comes from Joseph to Joseph. It didn't come to Jesus. Read your Bible. Because it come to Mary, see, and Mary has no lineage connection. The Bible said Joseph. Well, now we know Joseph wasn't his father. We know Mary was just an incubator because he didn't even call her mother. She was just an incubator. Something used. Brother Branham says, masterpiece, that Mary wasn't even the word. He said she was a carrier of the word. He said, but he is the word. And see, we can't just talk about giving birth to Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. We've got to be the word that Jesus Christ is. There's number three I'd write down. And think on these things. Let's stand together. Get ready for the communion. Amen. Someday I'll get enough voice to preach instead of just talk. And until then, we'll just talk. Don't worry about it. Because if I preach too hard, I preach my heart out down at Brother Collins's, and it's just wonderful. I thought that was one of the old days when I used to preach. But sometimes I just don't have the voice. So I just have to wait it out. And don't worry about it, right? Don't be concerned about it. But think about it now, the communion as we come to the part. To take the communion. Just think on these things. Think about Jesus Christ and what's transpiring. What he's doing now, what he's trying to reveal himself to you and I, but he's revealing himself in you and I at the same time he reveals himself to us, making us then part of the mystery. And if Brother Branham was right, I believe it's Christ the mystery of God revealed. I think it's page 74. He said the bride is part of the mystery and must be revealed. Well, if you stop revealing Jesus only, you know what you are? A oneness. But if you can see it come over into a bride, you can see who we really are. We're the last immorphy of God upon this earth. It might not look like it, but you know, if you'd have been back there and have seen him walking, you wouldn't have seen a lot, would you? If you didn't get to see the miracles that took place or something in his life, then what would you have thought about his life and what he was doing? Think on these things, folks. Preparing, the fifth chapter is preparing for the opening. If you're preparing, you got to have everything in place. Now, I've made this statement many years ago, and I keep making it. There's a doctrine among the people of the message that said Brother Branham was wrong in his early part of his ministry. Couldn't be trusted before the seals broke. And you just come after the seals break, and ours is, you know, you've got to stay after the seals to understand anything. If that be so, then Brother Branham could not have had the foundation, a preparation for the opening of the seven seals. If he wasn't right, then look what you're saying. There's no foundation for him to stand on. We know, you say, well, what about all this? That? The only one you can say anything about is the White Horse Rider. And just remember, even though he was a prophet, God had it sealed to him until the seal came off. So he could say the White Horse Rider is the Holy Ghost. And you go check the message when he'd say it. He'd say, if I'm right, the Holy Ghost will come and vindicate me being right and teaching the White Horse Rider as the Holy Ghost. And see if the Holy Ghost didn't come down and vindicate him. Check it. Yeah, but that's vindicating that. No. No light had ever shined on that. It wasn't responsible because light had never shined on it. But after it shined, he saw who it was. Right? Do you see who it is? Do you see Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Or are you just like a lot of people, well, you know, Brother Brown will be back one of these days and he'll pick us all up. Well, I hope that's right. I told you this morning, I don't want to bust nobody's bubble. But I just don't believe it that way. I believe that we got to be right in the right place. And people asked me something one time about those things, and this is what I said to them. I said, if Brother Branham come right out of here and put a tent up in front of this church, I said, you would not understand what he's saying. I said, the reason is you don't know what he's already said. And I meant it then, and I still stand by it. Right out here in front of this church, Lula, Georgia, put up a tent, preach in it. If we didn't know what he'd already said and had a foundation laid by the Word of God and it anchored in our hearts, we wouldn't know what in the world he's talking about. That's where people don't understand me, but I don't mind saying Lula, Georgia. Because I know if it's not revealed, you and I don't have it. talking about it is one thing, but a revelation is another. Think on these things.